Matthew chapter 5. You know, as we all come at life with our frame of reference, and as we hear the different things going on around us, I was speaking with some folks today who were not believers, and one was the eye doctor, and she was saying that she's been divorced. Life is sort of rough. Her 20-year-old son seems to be at his wit's ends, can't settle down to anything. She says it seems to be that the 20-year-olds of this generation are having a struggle in life in this regard. And being in that environment, it's difficult sometimes to actually know what to say, but she just asked the Lord for a few things to say. And it's interesting that it's their eyes are closed. I was speaking with a neighbor a number of weeks back, and the same thing there. He said that he's Orthodox. He comes from Serbia. He believes his father was a communist. He thinks communism is okay. All roads lead to heaven sort of thing. And when you try to narrow it down, they refuse, or it seems like their ears are stopped. Another neighbor I was speaking with as well, I was helping him on the roof, and he's got an angry spirit within him. And he was telling me about his conflicts at work. And again, you say, Lord, help me to say something. And I shared with him, and I knew that he has an aunt and uncle who we know. And I said, as your aunt and uncle, and I mentioned them and myself, I said, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, and then I began to tell him a few things, and he got very defensive, and he said, I have a Bible at home, and he says that I put it up to my heart when I'm sitting there, and I'm thankful. And he said, you see that cross there, and a great big tattoo in his arm. You see that cross there? He says, I have faith too. And I knew that I had to back off. People today are hurting. People today are hurting. I've been listening to a message on the book of Daniel and how Daniel was upright and faithful. But also, the prophecies that he had in relation to Israel, which are very similar in a time frame up until the time of the Roman occupation before Jesus was born, and that of the coming end times and the extreme persecution against the Jewish people in Israel when the temple was defiled and that's in the Maccabeans and stuff. The difficult and the description of some of the tortures and the total demonic activity through worldly leaders at that time is nothing to be compared to what will be coming after Christ takes us home. Terrible, terrible times. And yet, we're here today. We're here today for a reason. Does what's coming ahead give you and I the impetus, and does it cause our, like Daniel, his heart failed within him? Because they were beyond description. You know, some people think that hell is going to be a party. Well, I'm afraid it's going to be beyond our comprehension. Our responsibility, and as you know, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are part of the Sermon on the Mount. But I'm only going to take just a few verses from that. It will be talking about you are the salt of the earth, chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. I have this article here, published in June 30th, 2015. And basically, the article states the formal end to Judeo-Christian America. I'm not going to read the article. Just three things, which Dennis Prager says. I don't know if you may have heard of him. The war to replace God, Judeo-Christian values, and the Bible as moral guides is far from over. What will this lead to? Here's what he suggests. Becoming more and more like Western Europe, which has more or less created the first godless and religionless society in history. Among the consequences are less marriage and the birth of far fewer children. It's already happening. Number two, more and more ostracizing, eventually outlawing of religious Jews and Christians, clergy, and institutions that refuse to perform same-sex weddings. I don't have to tell you where that is. Number three, an America increasingly guided by people's hearts. Where does the scripture say that? And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We're heading that way. We're heading that way. Here's what a Jewish author says about Christianity. It's interesting. This was taken from the Jewish World Report. I'm not sure if any of you have ever received it. December 15th, this was 2014, but it doesn't change. It seems to, the snowball is starting to roll. A number of readers wrote in the last few days, they wanted to assure me that the letter I quoted in the weekend issue from a rather obnoxious individual describing himself as a Christian didn't in any way reflect them personally or nominative Christianity. As a member of a religious minority, I, for one, am particularly sensitive about not judging groups based on individuals. But even more than that, over the last 17 years, this former rabbinic student has learned much about Christians. Among the most crucial, there are those who identify as Christians, and then there are those who live as Christians. And there's a huge difference. He says, in gratitude and friendship, Benjamin. I want to leave you with, I may have quoted this poem before, but I think it's very revealing. I don't know when it was written, probably a while back. It's called The Old Paths. It's written by a retired minister who lived in Tennessee. I like the old paths when mums were at home, dads were at work, brothers went into the army, and sisters got married before having children. Crime did not pay, hard work did, and people knew the difference. Mums could cook, dads could work, children would behave. Husbands were loving, wives were supportive, and children were polite. Women wore the jewelry and men wore the pants. Women looked like ladies, men looked like gentlemen, and children looked decent. People loved the truth and hated a lie. They came to church to get in, not to get out. Hymns sounded godly, sermons sounded helpful, rejoicing sounded normal, and crying sounded severe, sincere. Cursing was wicked, drinking was evil, and divorce was unthinkable. The flag was honored, America was beautiful, and God was welcome. We read the Bible in public, prayed in school, and preached from house to house. To be called an American was worth dying for. To be called a Christian was worth living for. To be called a traitor was a shame. Sex was a personal word. Homosexual was an unheard of word. And abortion was an illegal word. Preachers preached because they had a message. And Christians rejoiced because they had victory. Preachers preached from the Bible. Singers sang from the heart. And sinners turned to the Lord to be saved. A new birth meant a new life. Salvation meant a changed life. Following Christ led to eternal life. Being a preacher meant you proclaimed the word of God. Being a deacon meant you would serve the Lord. Being a Christian meant you would live for Jesus. And being a sinner meant something. Someone was praying for you. Laws were based on the Bible. Homes read the Bible and churches taught the Bible. Preachers were more interested in new converts than new clothes and new cars. God was worshipped. Christ was exalted and the Holy Spirit was respected. Church was where you found Christians on the Lord's Day rather than in the garden or on the creek bank or on the golf course or being entertained somewhere else. I still like the old paths best. Ye are the salt of the earth. The first registered use of salt, and what people know of, was around 4000 BC. That was in Egypt and Greece and Rome, in that part of the world. And it was very valuable because it preserved and flavored foods. Salt started to be used as money. And that, of course, where do we get the word salary from? Unfortunately, for those paid in salt, it was easily ruined, and by other factors. Payment to Roman workers was made in salt. Salt was also given to the parents of the groom in marriage until the 8th century. Most of the time, salt costs more than gold. It was precious, very precious in those days. Salt's preservative ability was foundational of civilization. It eliminated dependency on the seasonal availability of food. It allowed people to travel over bigger distances, and it was a vital food additive. However, because salt was difficult to obtain, it became highly a valued trade item throughout its history. And until the 1900s, salt was one of the prime movers of national economies and wars. Salt was very important. It's still important today. Do you know there's over 14,000 different uses of salt on a daily basis in industry and all over? Salt was more valuable than gold. We couldn't get along without it. We couldn't live with it without it. We just read Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. How about Mark chapter 4, verse 49 and 50? It says, "For everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another." How about Luke chapter 15, verse 33 and 35? Luke 15, 33, 35. "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." One more portion of scripture in Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." A few little portions of scripture, but oh, how important it is that we Christ said himself, "Ye are the salt of the earth." So how do the characteristics of salt illustrate God's design for Christians? What happens when heat is applied to salt water? I mean the ocean waters, of course, the water evaporates. And salt remains. We had lived on Bonaire for a number of years, and I might have mentioned that before, that we had opportunity to go through the salt flats. But I'm not going to go through that this evening. But evaporated salt water leaves a pure solid substance with special chemical properties. And some of you may be more in tune with that than myself. But the chemical name for salt is sodium chloride, right? Sodium chloride is produced when a strong base, sodium hydroxide, and a strong acid, hydrochloric acid, combine. And both the base and the acid are extremely powerful and dangerous apart from themselves. But when combined in proper proportions, these two poisonous liquids produce a harmless and neutral solution of salt and water. Christ knew that. Can we be salt? Here's a question. Can we be salt without the influence of Christ? When we look at it, well, there's people that are really decent people in the world today. But to be truly salt, as Christ mentioned it, may I suggest to you that the Holy Spirit and Christ within us, I mean, there's none righteous, no, not one. We're all born in iniquity and sin. But when Christ comes in, he clothes us with his righteousness. The strength of the salt structure comes from the strong electrical charges that hold sodium chloride together. Don't you think that the Holy Spirit has that influence on the life of a believer? And it is a strong, strong power. There's nothing. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing, right? There's not a thing you can do, but with Christ, all things are possible. It is estimated that at least a quarter of the city of Detroit is still today supported on columns of salt, about 1,000 feet below ground. They've been left there by the miners, and they had to leave them there in order to support the structure up above, which was quite a landmass. But there's little danger of the result of it caving in because of this strong electrical charge that holds these salt particles together. Windsor is the same situation. That's where we get our Windsor salt, isn't it? See, I believe that in believers, the bonding factor is the Holy Spirit who empowers, but is Christ in us the hope of glory? When Christ said, "Ye are the salt of the earth," he was referring to his own. He was referring to his own. See, salt molecules, is another thing, are bonded tightly together in an orderly manner. The basic salt molecule joins with another salt molecule in alternating patterns of positive and negative ions, forming a crystal. You know what the shape of a salt crystal is? It's cubed, isn't it? Ever try standing a salt shaker on the table? How many times do you try that? It's possible if you're careful. And the reason it is because salt has that cubical shape. We, as believers, are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. There needs to be unity within the body of Christ, both in the church locally and in the church universal. And I believe that is probably slipping away in our day and age because of error and not truth. Three, salt molecules retain order and bonds when broken, but do not bond when dissolved. Broken. Persecution for the sake of the gospel. The pastor that just was freed after 2 years, how many years was he there? It's happening around the world. Sometimes pressure is good for the believer. And God knows those pressures in our own lives. It strengthens. It builds. You know, I was talking with my optometrist today about her son. I suggested that, and she began to allude to it, and I said, part of the problem, I believe, is that students do not fail in school anymore. And I said, pressure sometimes produces character. Now, this young fellow has some other problems, but she finally mentioned a few of the others. Broken, dissolved. See, how can salt be dissolved? Well, it can be by being diluted. And how about the life of a believer? Isn't it, the Bible says, be ye not transformed. Or don't be conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The pull of the world due to lack of communion and scripture in the life of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to take one step and take further steps, this backsliding, and the life of a believer can be greatly dissolved. Saved so as by fire. No works to lay before the Lord Jesus Christ to give him his glory. 4, did you know that salt weakens a magnetic field? Iron is ferromagnetic. Salt is diamagnetic. When I did this study, I found there's some interesting things. How about believers? Enough salt, positive Christian discipleship and fellowship, weakens the pull of worldly temptations. And so salt, when it says it weakens the magnetic, enough fellowship tends, well, look at your own children, your grandchildren. If they don't get the fellowship, the world seems to pull them. But the more fellowship they have in precious faith, the less the pull of the world will be. Another question, how do the various uses of salt illustrate the functions of Christians? And as I said before, there are more uses for salt than any other single compound on the face of the earth, at least 14,000 that have been listed down. How many of you can remember the days when you remember the salt pork and the pickle barrel and that? You know, I don't remember that, but of course, I've tasted the result of some of that. Salt preserves by retarding the spread of bacteria. See, it draws the moisture out of them and causing, in a sense, to die by dehydration. You know, I just had a fella come by and he was looking at one of the vehicles I had, but it was yellow or green with the stuff on it. I took the pressure washer to it, of course, but just sitting there, it goes the way of decay. You can clean it up, but taking that moisture away stops the bacteria, you might say. Preserves. Salt can keep meat fresh longer than a refrigerator. Well, salt pork, you know, there's a lot of meats that have salt in them. It works, doesn't it? See, we as believers should be instrumental in retarding the spread of evil in our homes, in the churches, and even in our communities and the world. We live in harmony at home, united in the church, and in purity to the world. And that will bring the light to the heart of God and allow the others to see Christianity at work, practical Christianity at work. Remember, some Christians identify, but the others who live it. When we allow evil in government, it corrupts our law system and we lose freedoms. One lady was driving back and forth to school, and as she was going through this district, she realized that there was a pornographic shop and she didn't want her children, young children, to see it. And she was quite righteously indignant, and she prayed that really there would be the Lord would curse this spot because of what was being displayed there and sold there. No, she didn't curse it. Instead, she began to bless the place with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. As she drove by one day and the next, and the third day the shop was closed. Bless and curse not. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It is the responsibility of Christians to hinder the spread of evil in this world. Christ in us, the hope of glory. 2, salt is a food seasoner, isn't it? It enhances the taste of food by seeming to bring out the real flavor. My grandfather, every sandwich he would make, he would put salt on his sandwich. I don't know if some of you still do that, but we have to be careful, I suppose, with our salt intake. Job chapter 6, verse 6 says this, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" How many of you put salt in your eggs? Probably most of you. Self-explanatory. See, we as believers are to bring out the real meaning of life as it is portrayed in the scriptures. Doesn't mean that the world will listen, but if we can quote a verse that says, "My word will not return unto me void." When I quoted John 3:16 to this neighbor, he just seemed to shut his ears. Remember the time when at Hope Valley, when Doug and I were working on the pool, and we went down to the river, to the pump, river pump there, and the foreman on the job for the swimming pool came down to visit us to see what we were doing. And Doug began to talk to him about the Lord and quoted some scripture. And it wasn't just a moment later, and he got in his truck and he had to leave. And Doug quoted this verse, I'll never forget it, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth." When no man pursueth. But the verses of scripture maybe were starting to hit his heart. Salt, another thing, promotes cleanliness. When Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, and if it loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled under foot of men." Salt promotes cleanliness. It is in soap and soap products. It's in cleaners, caustic soda, chlorine, separated through electrolysis for pools and drinking water. It kills bacteria, disinfects, and bleaches. Sodium chloride. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. I'm going to quote this. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." Lord, help me to do these things. Are Christians to promote cleanliness in their lives, in their homes, in their community? Of course. Course. Number 4, salt creates thirst. It's a known fact that when people eat salt, they become thirsty. And people who are around Christians should begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and thus come to find the Savior. Easier said than sometimes it's done. But if you live a consistent life of integrity and before the world and purity. Daniel, when I think of Daniel again, what did the 120 princes and the two, there were three presidents, but Daniel was one of them, and the two, they came to the king Darius and they said, "O king, live forever." I mean, that's what they always say back then. "And we make you a god for 30 days, which was false. And why did they do that? Because the only thing that they could catch Daniel on was that he prayed 3 times facing Jerusalem. They checked his background, everything. There wasn't a thing that he didn't do right. And when Darius signed it and he knew that he had fallen into the trap, he regretted that he had signed that, but God delivered him. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den and turned the tables on these 120 governors and the two presidents, and they were cast into the lion's den. And you know the thing that the Bible says in that regard? That they didn't even get to the floor until the lions devoured them. Whew. God has his timetable. God has his way. And sometimes I wonder what we may have to go through in order to reach out to those around us. But our first priority should be to our families. And whether it is grandchildren now or in-laws or outlaws or whatever. But without Christ, they are facing terrible, terrible times ahead. We shouldn't become complacent. Salt creates thirst. Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. We've quoted that already, but it's worth repeating. Number 5, salt produces warmth. Why do they put salt on our highways and our roads? Believe it or not, salt lowers the freezing point of water. Millions and millions of tons of ice or salt are put on our roads annually. It's also used in rocket engines and nuclear reactors, creating warmth. I'm not sure what the process is, and I was quite surprised to learn that. But we should express warmth and friendliness to all those we meet, and that's not always possible. What would Jesus do? I know there's many times in situations I come across and I don't feel like it. And oftentimes I'll have to ask the Lord to forgive my hardness because I'm not what I should be. The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I won't do or don't want to do, I do. You know, Paul had the same struggles. And that's part of life, but oh, that God would use us in that sense to become more salty. 6, salt takes away hardness. Being a plumber, I know all about water softeners. But 20% of the salt mined in the United States, probably in Canada, is used for softening water. Water softeners work by replacing the hard minerals that are in the water with exchanging it for the sodium. One substance that's called zeolite is used in many of the softeners, and it absorbs these hard minerals on its surface. And when the surface is saturated, the zeolite must be regenerated and by flushing with a strong concentration of salt water called brine. Salt takes away hardness. Are Christians responsible to remove hardness from other Christians? Overcoming bitterness to genuine forgiveness, happiness, and contentment? Yeah, I think so. God help us to do it. 7, salt is a product of the labor and patience of people. The main source of salt is the sea, of course. It is 2.5% salty, or a quarter pound of salt in 1 gallon of seawater. And that's what they were doing on Bonaire and different places around the world with the solar flat. The Dead Sea has 30% salt. The Great Salt Lake in Utah, not sure about that, but why was it called a salt lake? Probably the concentration are quite high there too. See, salt, it takes labor and patience of salty believers to win people to Christ. It takes labor and patience to win people to Christ. Have you ever gone up to a person one time, probably not very common, and they have fallen on their knees and come to Christ? It's probably that there's someone in their lives has done some plowing and seeding and everything else, and you're just reaping what they've sown. We're not a lone wolf. Number 8, salt requires distribution. On Bonaire, there were mountains and mountains of salt ready to be shipped out. And until it's shipped out, it's not good for anything. It just sits there, becomes hard, crystals, still continues to grow somewhat. Until it's distributed, it's got to be taken out where it's needed. The whole world requires salt. There's not a place, not a human, that can survive without salt. See, God has not designed us to live in secluded monasteries and communes. You're in the world, but not of it. We need to be salty Christians. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, very familiar to all of us. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And if we fail to obey the command of God and allow others to take our place and deny us the privilege of seeing souls come to Christ, he may even raise up persecution to scatter believers to distant places, which happened in the New Testament church. We need to be distributed. Number 9, salt, of course, is useful in industry. And as I said, 14,000 different ways at least. More salt is used in industry than sulfur, limestone, coal, or petroleum. At least, and this was a while ago, 14.1 million tons of salt are produced annually in Canada. And the U.S. was the world's biggest producer, producing almost 50 million tons a year. Christians should serve others through good works and in a variety of ways. In a variety of ways. I found this one very interesting. Salt is essential to life itself. Salt is essential to life itself. It helps maintain life. It maintains the function of the heart, the kidneys, and other vital organs. Without salt, our bodies would experience convulsions, paralysis, and finally death. One, if we don't have salt, the blood vessels would collapse. Two, the nervous system would cease to function. Three, acid in the blood would become unbalanced. Four, the stomach lining would be eaten away. Five, kidneys would malfunction. And six, blood pressure would be unstable. Each of these, let me just go through maybe a couple of these. Collapsing blood vessels. When we think of salt to life itself, we think of it in a worldly situation. If we are slow and ineffective to respond with our efforts and opportunities to open countries, it might result in closed doors. There are many doors that are closing in countries today. And even those that are open have a great resistance to the gospel. But that shouldn't stop us from praying for those countries or for the people in them, because they all need the Savior. How long before the doors close completely, when God takes us up and he says, that's enough? It's coming. But we are the salt of the earth. Malfunctioning nervous system. Divisions among believers and churches have caused serious breakdowns in relationships and communication. As a result, important and relative information may not be transmitted among Christians, and vital needs are not being met within the body of Christ. It may look like pride in belonging to this certain church, which does not have anything to do with that one. It's not right. If we're truly born again, we are bonding together in Christ. Oh, I don't mean go after error. Don't have anything to do with error. But the little differences, I think we have to be careful. The three was the acid in the stomach would become unbalanced. Because of imbalance in preaching, teaching, and applying truths of Scripture, the pure water of the Word is being corrupted, and actual damage is being done to many individuals whose hearts and minds are hearing distorted truths. And that's happening constantly. You just go on the internet and look at some of these TV evangelists. It makes you cringe. Wow. watered-down gospel, salvation by works, pastors who live immoral lives according to scriptures, lack of proper teaching in church doctrines and ethics, Christian psychology, learning the way, the world's ways to handle matters of the heart. It's happening today. I was talking with someone just a week ago, and their pastor, he just came to their church. 2 years ago, he divorced his wife. And I wonder, Lord, where is the discernment? C.H. Spurgeon once said, "Why should we proclaim the wisdom of men when we have the privilege of preaching the word of God?" Acts chapter 17, verse 10 to 12. You know this verse. "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed." What about the ulcerated lining? The imbalance within Christianity has caused alarm and tension to both Christians and non-Christians alike. Fear and worry are common ailments and lie in direct contrast to the peace which God promised to those who keep their hearts and minds fixed upon Him. I mentioned this young boy of 20. As in Jesus' day, many of the causes of sickness today can be traced back to the mental and spiritual conditions of the people. The seven major causes of disease are anger, guilt, lust, bitterness, greed, fear, and envy. The kidneys malfunction. In spite of millions of Christians in our nation, the floods of iniquity and impurity have rapidly multiplied. The corruption is being compounded to such a degree that even the secular world is being alarmed. Guns and shooting in schools. Remember back Columbine? I mean, you don't have to look at the recent news that's happening all more frequently, even in Toronto. Iran, with its nuclear. Now North Korea and the States. In spite of millions of believers. But God has His timetable. It's not dependent upon us. It's dependent on us to be faithful to Him, to live for Him, to be salt. How about unstable blood pressure? Because of the worldly influence in the church, many Christians are aroused to sensuality that has no place in the believer's life. On the other hand, they are not alarmed by the spiritual condition which may bring God's righteous judgment to the church and to the nation. And by God's grace, more believers are being set free from the bondage of fornication and sexual immorality or sexual activities other than in marriage. Internet pornography, wrong videos, magazine, books, and materialism are much more prevalent available. I remember down at a conference down in Nashville, Tennessee. We were staying at a motel, and we were 3 weeks ahead of, or 3 weeks before us. There was a large denomination, evangelical denomination, who were using the city for the purpose of conference convention. And the manager of the hotel had been talking with under managers of the other hotels, and they were wondering about something. And they said, "You guys are different." I said, "Why? What brings you to say that?" He said, "There was a men's conference 3 weeks ago." He said, "The pornography hits in the city spiked," he says. There's a truth about this. We are the salt. But even if we think we do it in private, there's people who observe and will have nothing to do with it because of the behavior. God has called us to have a mobile attitude in this world and as pilgrims and strangers. Many Christians have become complacent and live, though, this world were our final resting place. It's not. I'd hate it to be. Those of us have seen loved ones go, we're going to meet them one day. But it is our responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to follow what He says. You are the salt of the earth. And I just hope that tonight, just what we've shared would just cause us to think about it a little bit more, just these few words in Scripture and the what it can mean, and that God would help us to be what he wants us to be through him. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these folk here. Thank you for their willingness to live for you. We know each other really, but maybe not as you know, of course not. And so, Father, I pray that you would fill me and fill them with the desire to continue to serve you, that we would finish well. And, Father, that there would be much rejoicing, because as we look for souls around us, that there would be much rejoicing in heaven. So, Father, I just thank you. We pray that you would cause our hearts to be challenged to walk at greater heights. But, Lord, not to be served, but to serve. Not to be the first, but to be the last. Father, I thank you for your word tonight and pray your blessing on it in Jesus' name.